Hi guys, thank you so much for watching Minutes of Positivity. I am Anupriya. Welcome to the show, Upbeat the Conversation with Anupriya. So today's episode is very close to my heart because it's a collaboration with Lampshade Writers. And Lampshade Writers is the community which helps people and writers to write more and work with them. So in today's episode, I have Mr. Vinayak Jagathi sir. He is from Bangalore. He writes and he's into corporate also, which is so amazing because the knowledge and the amount of passion he has, it just inspires me so much. So today we spoke about the latest book which he wrote, The 3 AM. In this whole entire episode, he writes poems, he writes stories and a lot more stuff. We talked about a lot of things in person and especially the rapid fire round, which you should definitely check out. So watch this episode till the end and let me know your thoughts. Hi Nivedita. Hi Vinayak sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Great to meet you, Anupriya. Good to see you.
I think the feeling is mutual.
Yeah, same here. Good to see you again, Anupriya. Thank you so much for doing this.
Okay, guys. So if you don't know that this is a collaboration with Lampshade Writers and I'll be interviewing some great authors and people who are into writing. And if you know me, I am into writing these days and I think it has just changed my life completely. So Vinayak sir, I just want to know how you got connected with Nivedita, because I know about Nivedita and my audience knows about Nivedita. We met during the course. So how you guys connected?
I think it was somewhere mid last year that I was introduced to Nivedita through a mutual friend who also happens to be a great appreciator of poetry. And he said, there's this WhatsApp group that's there that where they share great poetry, they have sessions where they read poetry, they like to join. I said, yeah, sure, why not? And so that's how I got connected. And ever since then, it's just been amazing being a part of Lampshade Writers, because there's such a great variety of people there, from really young people who are venturing into poetry to people who are a little more advanced in their life. So the themes you get and the depth of writing that you encounter is quite something, a lot for us to take from and learn. So yeah, it's been a great few months, and just yesterday we were on another session. It was an open mic. I think it was probably the last virtual sessions that the team wants to do, and after this they want to start doing some face-to-face sessions. So yeah, it's been a very engaging experience.
Thank you so much.
Wow, I think Nivedita, you are just spreading out your magic. You remember, no. We talked about the same thing when we recorded the podcast. You were like, yeah, I want to build this around and see how great this is going.
thanks Anu. Actually, I think it's mostly the members who join in, and Vinayak sir has been like a great addition. His poetry is very different and very it's like very soothing when he reads. So it's very beautiful. You should, I'm sure, as we progress in the podcast and when you listen to his poetry, you'll figure that out. But as much as he needs us, we need him too.
I think I've also become a fan of poetry, but though I don't know how to write it because I'm more into storytelling. So sir, please, can you just help me out how to convert that storytelling into the poetry? They say, I just don't want to tell the entire story to the people, but yeah, the crux of it, I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I feel a good place to start maybe would be to start reading and immersing yourself more in poetry, because a lot of poems are also stories. A lot of times when I write, it comes out like a story. It starts with a trigger, a scene of something that happened or something that caught your imagination, and then you start to peel that little by little, and the story unfolds the thing about a poem that I feel may be different from a story is you don't quite know how a poem is going to end until it actually ends. Sometimes the endings always surprise you. You don't know where that came from.
Yeah. So can you just tell us about your whole entire journey? So you always wanted to go into poetry and writing, or you wanted to pursue something and then you realize, okay, that's not my thing.
You know, growing up in Bangalore, I grew up in Bangalore. I was drawn towards everything that was not academic. So my parents were always worried that I had too many distractions. So, you know, there was art and music and drama and sports. And so I just loved everything that was not school. I was fortunate to have a great set of friends growing up, you know, which continues to this day through, you know, groups like Lampshade Writers, where I could find, you know, these avenues to explore all those things that I loved. Career-wise, I got into learning and organization development, and over about, you know, 15, 18 years. Again, in my career, I always had a love for, you know, other things that were not exactly job related. So I got I got deeper into reading about philosophy, yoga, and, you know, all kinds of things which were somewhat related but not directly related to what my job was. So somewhere in the, I think, 2018, I was at a choice point where I'd been extremely fortunate to that point in my career, where I found a lot of, you know, success in my career, you know, very early on, and I had to make a choice about whether I wanted to continue further down that road or step off and do something else that was more adventurous and risky and unpredictable. So I chose, you know, to step off the path and you know, start something else on the side. And that's how this whole journey started, you know. And my reconnection to writing actually happened in 2020. I used to write a lot when I was younger, but somewhere through my corporate life, it wasn't so much of a strong voice. I got reconnected to it after I lost my father in 2020. And it became sort of my go-to place for, you know, processing and just understanding what I was going through at the time, because it was just came out of the blue. And somewhere through that, I went back to journaling, then to poetry, and then a book happened, and, you know, then it just kept going. You know, now it's like it's a part of me that had never left me, but, you know, I've suddenly rediscovered it after all these years.
You told me about the corporate life. Can you just elaborate it more? Because I thought that you are not in a corporate thing at all.
I was. So after, you know, engineering, I did engineering. as much as, you know, I was inclined artistically, but I was too scared to, you know, even ask for something else because I had no clue. So I did what everybody did. But at the end of it, I think I was clear that I wanted to do something that involved people and that involved some creative expression. Not that engineering doesn't, but at that time, it just didn't feel like it. So then I joined the contact center industry with an intention to go into advertising someday, because that's where I thought I could be creative. But, you know, one thing led to another, and I found myself in the IT, in the IT services industry for a good 18 years, but largely in the HR, learning, organization development. That was the space where I found my calling, you know, in working with people, designing, creating content, putting that out to people. That became my home for 18 years, right? And like I said, I reached, I think, a point in that road where something else was wanting to emerge, and you know, I wanted to explore something else, and that's how I stepped off that corporate career path.
I think this has just inspired me that, you know, there at no age, you know, you can just think of writing and you can begin at anywhere, from anywhere, and you know, you can start over again and again. So because I think that a lot of people, you know, just have told me about this thing, when you write, when you constantly write, you improve day by day. So I have this question in my mind, because you told me about, you started writing in 2020. So were you a regular writer, or you write during some incidents, or fiction, non-fiction, or earlier also you used to write whenever, you know, you feel just that nothing is going way, or you feel exhausted, or whatever you felt? So what was it?
Yeah, I've always been connected to writing, because I was in, you know, a big part of my career was in instructional design and creating content, and training material and things like that. So I was, let's say, not in the realm of creative writing as much as, you know, writing for the workplace and creating instructional content. So that was one of the things I took from my engineering, you know, besides learning how to play the guitar. The other thing I learned from engineering was how to use, you know, mental models to, you know, frame a structure for whatever it is that you're trying to present. And that became really handy in creating content. So it was, I think, in 2020 where I went back to creative writing, which I used to do in college, when we used to try writing songs and poetry and stuff. And it was atrocious, but I used to try doing that. I got back to that in 2020, yeah.
I think that this is what I wanted to know, that, you know, you always had this interest towards writing. You're always connected towards writing. So what advice you would give to a beginner if he or she wants to, you know, start with writing things? How you begin with it? Because I believe that not everyone is born with the perfect storytelling skills, or with the perfect sentences, how to build those sentences and how to play with words. So what all books you referred, and what was your regular practice to become more better every day? Because I know, you are an amazing writer.
Thank you. I feel someone who really wants to write, the first step would be to immerse oneself more in reading, and reading all kinds of material, you know, from how they write advertisements to, you know, nonfiction to fiction to literature, prose, you know, just to develop your own inclination. You know, over time, you start to lean towards a particular style of writing that you start to identify as your own. And also to find your own voice in how you want to write. So I always thought my first, whatever I would, I knew I would write a book, but I always felt it would be nonfiction related to the work that I do, because a lot of my reading has been nonfiction, you know, management and leadership and, you know, those kind of topics. But through it all, there was also an immersion into other types of literature, which, you know, took me down the creative path. So reading is the first. The second would be to just write. I feel if, you know, you can make that a practice of just writing anything at all as frequently as you can, with no intention for it to be seen, with no intention for it to be appreciated or published or whatever, but just, you know, to get that muscle working, just keep doing that. I think that's great. In terms of tools, there's a few great podcasts that you know, I like listening to, that you know, one could look at. I think there's one called, look it up. Yeah, Helping Writers Become Authors. There's one podcast by that name, which is fantastic. You know, especially if you want to write fiction, it's a great podcast to really learn the nuances of building a character arc, you know, structuring your plot and, you know, carving out the storyline, all the technical elements of writing, heavy writing, so to speak. So yeah, you know, those are three things that I would maybe suggest someone who's just starting out.
I think that's great. So Do you also practice journaling everyday basis or and manifestations? Because I have heard that, you know, a lot of writers, they do journal regularly. So is it also your practice?
I do. Although I won't say I do it every day, but I do journal regularly. But I read every day. So there's always, you know, I like exposing myself to different, you know, types of stuff that I read, from business to technology to, you know, literature to philosophy and, you know, all kinds of topics, because it just, you know, I find that experience very stimulating. And then to be able to connect the dots between all these unrelated topics is extremely engaging.
Okay, that's lovely to hear. So, sir, it's just a humble request. Could you please read one or two poems which you have written?
Sure. I think maybe in line with your earlier question of, you know, wanting to be a writer, right?
Yeah.
I think I'll share something. I don't call myself a writer or whatever, but I wrote this poem called The Secret, which came to me literally in 5 minutes. But I use that as a daily reminder for myself to get grounded in the real reasons why you're doing whatever it is that you're doing. Right? It can be very easy to get lost in this whole pursuit of, I want to be famous, or I want to, you know, make money, or this or that and so on. But to keep going back to the roots of why it is that you're doing it. So this is called The Secret. You're not here to conquer the mountain. You're not here to conquer the mountain. You're here to fall in love with the dream of climbing. You're here to listen to the whistling wind whisper how the mountain has always loved you. You're here to listen to the whistling wind whisper how the mountain has always loved you. You're here to listen to the beating of your heart syncopate with every measured step. Steps that teach you how to keep climbing even when you're broken. So that one day, you can finally arrive at your own summit, at your own seat of revelation, where you can find the mountain's best kept secret. So that one day, you can finally arrive at your own summit, at your own seat of revelation, where you can find the mountain's best kept secret.
I was totally into the words. They are very deep. The whole entire poem is very deep. And I felt very connected towards it, because I know about, you know, the way you, firstly, the way you expressed it in your voice, and everything was in a very formulation. And of course, the poem, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Where it is, please, I want to read it.
Sure, I'll share this with you. And for me, you know, sometimes one of the things about poetry is it reveals some truths about ourselves that we are not fully ready to accept yet. You know, so although I wrote this poem, this is not my everyday experience. Every day, I am trying to conquer the mountain. I am trying to get up that hill. I am trying to win the race, and then I have to stop and remind myself, what are you doing this for? You know, you're here to fall in love with the dream of climbing. That's all you need to do. Take the next step. Take the next step. That's all there is.
I think it's a very great reminder for everyone, because a lot of people like us, and if I talk about adults, you know, they're too much of hustling and getting things done fast. They don't have patience. Like, if I talk about me, I have no patience at all. I just want to get things done quickly, very quickly. And I'm just constantly running away. So when I listened to you, actually, you know, I was just feeling my own self that, you know, I think he said it right. You need to sometimes take a deep breath and, you know, analyze why you are doing it, what you want out of it. And this is a great question which everyone, I think, should ask once in your life or every day, you know, after doing every work, why you wanted to do that, what is giving you the benefits out of it. I absolutely loved it. And please tell us about your book, The 3 a.m.
The 3 a.m. call. This was somewhere in 2020, I think, mid-2020, I was just kind of coming to terms with the loss of my father. And I had a phone call one day with a friend of mine, and he told me that a mutual friend that we knew was going to die soon. And it's like a wound is just healing and another one just opens up. My father going was one thing, but you know, this was somebody that we knew, that worked with us, that, you know, we have spent time with. And you don't somehow equate, you feel it's unfair that someone like this is called so early. And at that time, all of a sudden, this thing hit me that, what if tomorrow was actually the last day of my life? And what would I, what regrets would I die with? So I then just randomly, just in 5 minutes, I wrote 7 or 8 things. And one of them was writing a book. I didn't know what, I knew I wanted to write all the time, but I didn't know what it would be about. But I just left it. And I think 2 or 3 days later, again in the evening, I got off 2 phone calls with 2 other friends who know me well. And we had long conversations. You know, 2020, everybody was going through a difficult time. So we were talking about that. And when I got off the second phone call, it just struck me that, now these 2 people that just spoke to me, they don't know each other, but they know me really well, you know? But they have never met in real life. And I thought, what might happen if these 2 were to meet in real life? And they talk about what they talk about with me, with each other. What might A say to B, you know? And how might their lives change after that? And suddenly I thought, wait a minute, you know, maybe this is the idea of the book that I wanted to write. So I sat down on a piece of paper and started to just make some rough sketches of A and B. It's what I called them. And I built little families around them and what they do. And slowly a plot was starting to take shape. And that's how it was born. And thereafter, I actually wrote it in, it's 54 chapters in the book, about 90,000 words. I wrote that in almost 2 months flat. I had a writing window of 5 to 7 in the morning when I would write. So I would get up at 5 a.m., write 1 chapter, and then go on. It was just, I don't know how I did it. In 2 months flat, the manuscript was ready. And then, of course, I forgot about it because I got busy with other things in life. And only last year, I got back to the manuscript and found the courage to, you know, say, okay, I will try and publish it, because I was not sure if, you know, I wanted to put it out there at all. And then started the work of publishing it.
That is something great that, you know, you devoted your 2 hours early in the morning. That, you know, you 5 to 7, you spare out time for writing. I think I need to learn this thing badly from you. Because when I see myself, you know, and I see you, I know there's a huge age gap. But still, you know, you still are too much into this thing. You know, you have to write and you do it because you want to do it. And it's amazing, sir. It's absolutely amazing. I'm flattered about this thing. And I will practice this thing for sure.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to, you know, I've always been an early bird that way. But, you know, all of us have our, you know, time slots in the day where we are in flow, where we are in rhythm with life, so to speak. So whatever it is for you, you know, if you're an evening or a night person or whatever it is, you know, that your best time of the day is where I think you should choose.
Sir, but I feel over here that, you know, you should be very devoted towards what you want. And I think this is what has inspired me. because a lot of us are, you know, busy with our office, busy with our routine life, but hardly few people, you know, take out time for what they actually love. So this is what has just inspired me. Can you just elaborate more about 5 to 7 a.m. What was your routine, and you know, how routine is very important and discipline is very important for writers, because no one can be a writer just like aaj likh liya kal gayab parso likh liya uske baad gayab. But I think discipline is something which is very required in writing.
Yeah, I guess the discipline, you know, all of us, I believe, already have a discipline. It's just that we are not necessarily always disciplined towards the things that we want.
Yeah, you know? That is so true. Yeah.
So we, and sometimes we also have to be honest with ourselves about what is it that we truly want, you know. So for example, writing might seem like a great thing to do. But if that's not something that you truly want, you know, it's okay. You know, probably what you want is something else, and your discipline can really pay dividends there. So I feel if we are able to channelize our discipline towards things we know really matter to us, then it doesn't feel like an effort. Then you're in flow. You know, otherwise, discipline can feel like something forced, and whenever we are forced into something, you know, our best never comes out.
Yeah.
So you know, this thing of I have to do it kind of a thing, I don't believe in it so much, because you know, we have to, whatever we do, we have to do it with joy and a sense of, you know, I just love doing this.
I think you missed the major part, that a lot of people are like people like me. I'm very lazy. Doesn't want to get up from the bed. But this is very inspiring. To be very honest, this is very, very inspiring, because you are doing your job, you're following your regular routine, and you were writing a book. And I so want to write a book, but I just always scrimp about this. I don't have time for it. But now I know that I have time, but I'm not willing to take it out. So.
Yeah, and it's okay, you know. And maybe the right time for you to write that first book will come when you're ready. And then you'll just naturally flow into it.
Yeah. Something which you would like to tell to the young writers about your experiences, your mistakes, which you want to, you know, which you want people to learn about it, that they won't do the same mistakes.
Yeah, I don't know if I can call myself, but yeah, I can share my mistakes for sure.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Something I struggled with always is what I call the curse of completion. You know, you talked about it briefly too, you know, this thing of wanting to finish things, that there's this tendency to rush towards the ending when the finish line starts to come into your visibility. That's something that I would really encourage everyone to be wary of, because sometimes our best comes out when we see the finish line, but we don't run towards it, but we stop, and you know, because something else is always cooking, something else always wants to come, and just learning to hold it and take it slowly is a great discipline to cultivate.
Yes, I think the best learning. Okay, so I have asked you multiple questions. Just so, sir, can you please read some good poem what you wrote in your latest book?
Another poem? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, from the latest book, the 3 a.m. call.
The 3 a.m. call is actually a fiction. It's not a poetry book.
Okay.
It's
So yeah. Can you please read another poem which is something related to the secret?
Okay, let me think here. Okay, maybe I'll share this poem. This one, it's something even Nivedita likes quite a lot. She likes this poem too, so I'll share this. It's called Bougainvillea.
Okay.
And it's,
nice.
That brought my Nivedita, yeah. So this one's actually about Bougainvillea that we have at home. I wrote this inspired by the growth of that Bougainvillea. So it's, we have a two-story house. So this one starts on the ground floor and it's gone all the way in front of our house, on the terrace. It's just crazy. So this is Bougainvillea. How does one grow wild and free like the white Bougainvillea with arms endless and rich with fleshy green leaves? How does one grow wild and free like the white Bougainvillea with arms endless and rich with fleshy green leaves? How does one get thorns that can be mean, though not so easily seen, unless you chance around, unless you get too close, unless you want to touch what looks like a frail creeper who needs your help to stand? How can one find a way to belong to that bunch of white flowers, swinging, dancing in the wind, high on the sun like little children on a beach having fun? How does one fall like the white flowers who were called to take stage and shine, and then to leave for another's turn, their time in the sky done? How does one fall like the white flowers who were called to take stage and shine, and then to leave their time in the sky done? Still, they like to be seen on the humble ground below, still dancing, still swinging, never feeling alone. Still they like to be seen on the humble ground below, still dancing, still swinging, never feeling alone. Bougainvillea.
Wow, this is so sweet. I never thought that, you know, poetry can come around in this way also. Very, very nice, sir. Very nice. So where are these poetries? I think these are with you only, or you have published it?
I haven't actually. It's all right now. Some of them are on our website, www.somagna.com, somagna.com, and that's, you know, our that's the company that I've now set up for coaching and consulting, where poetry is a big part of the work we do as well. So some of it is there, but a large part of it is actually just sitting on my laptop. There's about, I think now, something like close to 300 poems, I think, that I'm reading will be published someday.
I'll be asking you a few questions. It's a rapid fire round and you have to answer them.
Okay.
As interesting as you can. Okay, so what keeps you going?
Yoga.
Oh, wow. Your biggest misconception?
That I'll be understood.
Can you please elaborate it? Why?
It's the biggest thing that, I guess every writer grapples with, that you are trying to communicate something that you feel will connect with your audience in the same way you connect with it. That's what you hope to achieve all the time.
What's something you are really terrible at?
Say no.
I think half of the generation has this problem.
Yeah.
Share some of your writing tricks in a brief. You know, if you want to explain it to a small kid who is very much into writing essays and things, so how you'll make them understand?
I would tell them to start with an idea of a visual. And just close their eyes and imagine what you want to see in as much detail as you can. So whether it's people, so you start with one person, how does that person look? What are they wearing? Where are they standing? which place are they in, what is happening in that place, is someone coming to meet them, what might happen when they meet, and so on. So just keep going from there, you know, visualize, and then whatever you see, just try to put that down on paper and see what happens.
Okay. One more question. What are you more embarrassed of? Like, one incident happened in public and you're like, oh my God, this happened. Why?
I think I'm always a little embarrassed about this. I can't think of any particular incident right now. But yeah, this whole idea of, for me, this idea of being seen is a little, you know, uncomfortable. I'm much more comfortable being a writer in the closet, or, you know, but having to come out with whatever your work is not very comfortable.
Okay, so tell me about something that, you know, so in this generation, we use a lot of abbreviations, okay? FOMO, YOLO, and a lot of OG, IG. There are tons of things. What are your opinion on it?
Oh, I have mine too. You know? So my favorite abbreviation is IDK. You don't know that, do you?
I know that, of course, because I'm born and brought up in this generation. But a lot of abbreviations I don't understand. Then I just Google it. What is the full form of this? Oh my God, that's the most embarrassing thing. And you dare if you ask somebody, my God, Anupriya, you don't know about it.
Yeah. So for me, my favorite one is actually, I don't know.
And what about I don't care?
IDC. Now that's hard for me. Yeah, that's hard for me.
I think, sir, you're you know, very much advanced to this generation because you're aware about these abbreviations.
You're telling me in, you know, all of these, you know, very subtle ways, you've been telling me right from the start how old I am. So
no, but I very, but if I talk to my mom, so she's like, बेटा ये कैसे होता है, इसका क्या मतलब होता है, इतना शॉर्ट फॉर्म क्या जनरेशन है, इतना शॉर्ट फॉर्म तुम लोग तो बात ही नहीं करते हो, डोंट यूज दिस व्हाट्सएप कन्वर्सेशंस. But I'm glad you understand it. Oh my God.
Yeah, well, I work with a lot of young people. Yes.
Oh,
so,
okay. I remember in Shark Tank, there is the Aman, who is the founder of Board, co-founder of Board. He was telling about the same thing. Ki, yaar, aajkal ki generation ka to samajh nahi aata. I just completely don't understand the short form they use. Oh my God.
Yeah,
so that is what just made me realize ki, yaar, ipa puch ke dekhti. But it's great. It's great. Yeah. So, sir, it was a pleasure talking to you, and learning new things has always been inspired by the people around me. And thank you so much for being here, taking our time on this Sunday evening. I know it's quite hectic and it's the me time, but you gave it to me and to Nivedita. So it was really a pleasure talking to you, and your poetry is something really good. I personally want to, you know, read them, and please record the podcast of your poetry. I'm sure the voice of yours is commendable and people will be loving it. You know, as much as we listen to the music, people will be listening to your poetry in your voice. It's very soothing, and you know, you can add the background music subtle, so it's good to go.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I've been thinking about that, but I haven't got around to doing it. It again is one of those things which, you know, I'm a little jittery about. I'm much more comfortable doing this, you know, when somebody's with me and I'm with somebody here. But recording and putting it out there, I'll try it, yeah.
But please publish it, because people like me are willing to read this. So please, it's great listening to you and listening to your entire story, how you went and how it's starting now, how it's going. It's been too great, and looking forward to working with you more. and of course meeting you wherever I'll be there in Bangalore.
For sure, yes. And thank you so much for having me. I'm sure it was awesome. Just your energy is amazing, and I wish you all the best. Your podcast is going to be really great. Hopefully your listeners will connect with what we had to say today and they'll enjoy it too. And yeah, thanks to Lilith, thanks to Lampshade Writers.
Yeah, thanks to Lampshade
Writers. Thank you so much. I must thank you guys. I really learned a lot actually in this session. Yes, I know Anu's energy is infectious, and it was really nice listening to the candid version of Vinayak sir also.
I didn't know that it is a candid version, but I really, because I have not talked to sir a lot, but the way you represented yourself is commendable, sir. It's really good. It's very natural and very smooth. So the conversation was amazing. I'm really looking forward to do some more amazing conversation with Lampshade Writers. And yeah, so I'll be putting up Lampshade Writers, all social media handles, Nivedita social media handles, and Sir social media handles, the website link and the books link. All you have to do is check out the links and, get in touch with these amazing people, learn more about how writing works and how things around writing works. And I'm sure you're gonna love it. So thank you so much, guys. Once again, it was a pleasure talking to you both, and looking forward to meet you in person, not virtually. I'm tired.
Yes,
virtual meeting.
Yes, yes. anytime. If you come to Hyderabad, please do come to our house.
for sure. Okay, sir. Thank you, Vinayak sir, once again, and thank you, Nivedita, once again for giving me this opportunity.
Thank you, Anupriya.
Thanks, Anu.
Thank you.
Bye.